come to you again this day, thanking you for the many blessings of this life that you have given us. We thank you so very much for the love that you had for us in sending your only Son into this world to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, that we might have the hope to be in with y'all in heaven someday. We ask you many blessings on the country this day, and on the sick, and the ones that lost their loved ones. We pray that you will be with them and bless them as only you can, and that you will have this pandemic to pass over us. Be thy will. For we know that your will is always good. We thank you so much for the blessings that you give us each day of our lives. And we pray that you will always look at us and give us those blessings, and that you will once again look on us with great favor, as you always have. We pray for those that have lost their loved ones, those that have lost it, the ones that they love. And we pray for those that are sick and suffering. We pray for the leaders and those who take care of us. And we ask your blessings on them and that you will look after them also. Go with us now through the rest of this day and through the rest of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 591. 591.
kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this emblem which represents the body of our Savior Jesus Christ. And help us to remember that as we partake of this, we do so in remembrance of Him till You come again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, to Thee, our Heavenly Father, we give our thanks for this fruit of the vine, which signifies the blood that was shed so that we might have the cleansing of our sins by the Lord Himself. We thank You that He's coming again someday. To that end, we look forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Having completed the elements of the Lord's Supper, the opportunity now is for us to give to the work that will go on not only here locally but also around the world. This congregation is well noted and appreciated for the service that you render to the Lord's cause everywhere in the world. Let's pray to that end. Our Father, as we consider the things of our blessings and give back to Thee today, we're prayerful that this will be used in accordance to Thy will.
We have 12 present this morning. Today is May 3rd, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 682. 682 is a song of invitation after our lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 454. 454. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and death in delaying, except God's saving grace. His life on the cross He has given. Oh, come while yet you may. He's earnestly pleading, oh, make no delay. At the way that we would have our relationship with God, we raise our hands to the question, does the Word of God tell us about anything else that we need to be and do in life? And what is the simple way in which it is explained by God? And indeed it is. There's a way in which mankind often speaks to one another. From childhood, we speak with mom and dad.
As we go along in life, we find an opportunity to be people that God would be blessed with and pleased. There are terrible things sometimes by words that are said. In just a few minutes, we'll move to Proverbs chapter 18, which in the single chapter of the Old Testament tells us more about the tongue and words that we use than any other location. In this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 18, there is a vivid description given of how we talk with one another. And this is described, I'll begin at verse 1 in Proverbs chapter 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt and ignominious reproach. The words of man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. I want to stop at this point to note, you can't imagine the idea that when he says there, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. We've got to want to do better in life. And a little child growing up would find himself looking at the example of mama, looking at the example of daddy, and imitating many times a practice without their even recognizing that he is practicing the same kind of motions and movements and ideas and using some of the same words that he hears them say. But as he grows on up a little bit more, as he goes in life and he meets with others around about him in life, and they talk about their parents and what they've learned from them and one thing and another, there's a desire made in his heart to be better than what he's heard. I don't want to live just that way. I don't want to do just those things. I want to prove things and be sure that they're the wisest things to do and follow. Thus, my conversation with the Lord and his word will be very important to my life, because later on in the Psalm chapter 119, the scripture is given regarding the word of God and how powerful it is to lead and direct us, to be the light to our life, the lamp to our feet, and how that we can be people who see where we're going and where we're headed in regard to this action of God's word and God's will. We can be people who are doing righteously because the word of God directs our lives. And as a result of that, the people of the Old Testament time find themselves in wisdom as they consider what God's word had said to them in regard to how to behave as they worship the Lord, as they live from day to day, as they were a better husband and wife, and children within the family. All these things were given in the Word of God in words that they wanted to read and pass along to their children as a result of that way of talk. Today in this world in which we live, there's a lot of things missing. But one of the things that is missing by all kinds of guidance through the youth courts these days is the fact that children have not been taught what to think. What to think about other people's property. Thus they become thieves when they're early in age. What to think about the morals of life. Thus they decide to bent themselves on their own personal lust and their own personal desires. And the hormones of their body detect to them how they want to behave. They'll find themselves thinking of themselves as God. I'm the ruler of my own life, my own fate, my own time. And I don't really have any allegiance to anyone else higher than I am. And thus foolishly thinking this, they make decisions on the basis of what they'll say to others and do with others in life. The idea of the church of our Lord, the house of God, that he predicted in the Old Testament would be built in the top of the mountains and scattered among the hills, and all nations would flow unto it. Isaiah had predicted that would be the case in Isaiah chapter 2. It's hardly an idea in mind, because here's a young person growing up that's never been taught how the importance of the worship of God is. and the church of our Lord, the house of God, is. That house of God is described in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 3:15, as the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Paul says to Timothy, behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I'm writing this letter to you to tell you how you ought to behave yourself. I may not always be there with you to tell you directly. I may not always be there to recognize the pitfalls that you're in. So I'm writing this letter to you to tell you how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Thus it is the case that we want our gospel preachers to preach the truth. We want them to preach what the Word of God actually says on the subject. We want them to say to us the truth in regard to this matter of the Lord's will. In so many places these days, there are those who, like in the days of Isaiah, who love to have their ears tickled as they speak. Thus, they find themselves listening not for the truth to be taught, but for an enjoyable experience to have. Thus they find themselves leaving no stronger toward God than when they entered the door. Sad that is the situation. Let's go on now here in Proverbs chapter 18 with more of the ideas about the words of our mouth. Verse 5. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Have you ever seen such matters as all of these remarks made and descriptions made in any other part of the Old Testament of the Bible? As much as is made here in just 7 verses of Proverbs 18? We're not through with that at all. Because this will match up with the idea of what is said over in verse 21. If you just look across the page there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What kind of fruit do we eat? Do we eat that which is bitter and tasteless and that which is hurtful to us? No, we eat that which is sweet and that which is succulent and that which is filled with plenty of good moisture to us. And we find ourselves enjoying that. And he says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it. What do we love? We love that death? We love sadness and sorrow? No, we love life. And we love the things of life to be joyful and helpful and good. And when some person is in a time of need and circumstances like that, they have an opportunity to call on a neighbor to come and help me out. I'll call on someone this week to come along the way and help me out. And because of that, we'll have less effort that's done as we work together in a common cause. I have found years ago, and others have found through the life, that picking up a load on one end and another one at the other end lightens the load enough for both individuals to not have a reach back, to be able to do the load, to carry the load where we need to carry it, and use it where we need to use it. That is something that others can help us with if we find ourselves always telling falsehoods to others. We'll find ourselves in a way in which it is sad. Because they'll not trust us, they'll not come work with us, they'll not be a part of that situation because they know that all the load is going to be on them. When I'm invited, the load's going to be on me. Well, that's not the best thing to do. And so the invitation, the words that are spoken, are words that are foolish and foolhardy in that way of mannerism. Here's another situation in Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and it is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city and as a high wall in his own conceit. Sad it is said that regarding a talebearer, that is, he plants and words as wounds that are found within the belly. There's hardly any place of the body that really affects us mentally and emotionally, and there's hardly any place in the human body that affects us so much as having something in the stomach that's just not there, just not good, not wholesome, not helpful. The tummy is bothered, hurt. Sometimes it's because of an ulcer that is there, and there is penetration of that stomach cavity area. I remember in the science studies that we did at Fried Hardeman back years ago, the emphasis was put in there in regard to how when we eat things, it starts a digestion process before it leaves our tongue. That there are elements of chemistry that are on our tongues. And as a result of that, we begin the digestive process of what we're chewing. Chewing it into smaller pieces makes it more pliable to the esophagus going down and into the upper part of the stomach and the lower part of the stomach to be more dispersed and more used by way of the energy. What's it searching for? Well, the scientists up there would tell us in our classes that what they're searching for in the body is it's searching for nutrition. It's searching for proteins. It's searching for some carbohydrates. Yes, it's searching for some fats. And without that particular amount of fat that is necessary, the body just doesn't do its absorption of the energy level that it should. We were understanding, even in that early time, in the mid-60s, that we needed to drink water and to help the body go along with its digestive processes. But that if we drank too much water, too close together, we could wash out necessary elements in our bloodstream. That the potassium that's necessary for life, the calcium that's necessary for the bone structure, why that particular area of the body, so necessary to its development, can be washed out of the body and make the person go into rigors and by cause death. They referred to it as a drowning in water within the body. Most of the time we think about drowning, we think about a person in water, their nose having water and it going down into the lungs and so forth and so on, and causing a person's death to be there by a drowning process. Yet inwardly, if we partake of water too much in one period of time in our day, we find ourselves washing out that which helps us and benefits us. The talebearer causes that by words that are said, by terrible ways that are said. Let us not become people who gossip and talebear to others. In verse 11, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has a high wall in his own conceit. Notice that there's nothing there except the riches that are there honored, and they're not depending on God, not having a faith in God's blessings, not having a blessing in regard to his worship of God. He finds himself worshiping and glad for the things that he had. It brings to our mind, does it not, the rich young ruler of Matthew 19 who came running to Jesus. Obviously, he was more interested, very interested, in having eternal life. Master, what commandment might I do that I might have eternal life? Jesus recognized the young man's way of doing. He was impressed with him. He began to talk about the things that he practiced in life. Notice that he says to him, the six last things of the Ten Commandments. And when he finished up with, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, don't bear false witness, don't covet, the young man said with gladness, All these have I done from my youth up. One of the accounts of the biographies of Jesus' life says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He was so glad this young man was as faithful in his relationship to his fellow man as he said. But then Jesus looked at the top four of the commandments. And he knew this young man was not having God as his primary motive in life. And so he says to him, in essence, this idea: go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. The scripture tells us that he walked away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. He did not see himself giving up those matters to have the blessings of God and everlasting life. He had rather hold on to those things. He had great possessions. The wise man Solomon had noted back here in Proverbs 18, verse 11, that a strong city was his wealth, and a high wall was based on his conceit. Before destruction, the heart is man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it. How do we answer a matter before we hear it? We use our tongue, we use our words, we don't let the finish of the story be told to us. And look what's said there: Before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded soul, spirit, who can bear? The heart of the prudent, the wise, getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. I've used this illustration before, you know it well. I don't know as much about electricity as I need to know. To sit down and begin to take loose an outlet and to look in that outlet and see if there's something that's a problem to it, it's dangerous. It's possibly deadly to me. What I need to do? I need to have an ear seeking out wisdom and knowledge before I ever try that situation. I need to get somebody who's been there before and tried, and who uses some gloves and some meters to determine if there's energy level coming out there that he can absorb. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. In other words, here's a person who thinks, I've got things going on for me and I know it and I don't need to have any comment made about it. Can be brought down in a hurry. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. Offended with words. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the good thing. That's the good thing of life. That's the good thing of hope. Let's speak and talk to people about things that give life and give truth and give goodness. Then he says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It is noted to you and me one chapter earlier in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let us be people then who utilize the way that we talk with others in a vivid and good way. James will tell us in James chapter 3 in reference to the tongue that it is a deadly poison, that it finds itself ruling over a man's life, and as a result of that, finds itself being uncharged with life. Even so, he says there in James 3 at verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue, he says in verse 8, can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He goes on to say in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He likens this to a fountain, sending forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. If we go up to a place and we don't know whether we're going to get sweet water there or bitter water there, what do? We go on somewhere else. We go to a place that's secure that we're going to get good water instead of the bitterness that's there. He says in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation, good manner of life, his good words that he used, his works with meekness of wisdom. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But he says there in James 3 at verse 18, verse 17 and 18, but the wisdom that is from above, that wisdom that back yonder in Proverbs 18, Sodom was seeking to have, in the words that were being said, the choices of words that he was hearing, he was seeking that wisdom. And here it is once again talked about in James 3 at 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. No wonder Paul would address Timothy with the idea in 2 Timothy 2 and at 2, the things thou hast heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The same thing that the Lord has taught us as to how to use our tongue, and knowing that the power of death and of life is in the tongue, let us make better choices as we talk, speak with others, as we teach anyone the wisdom of God. The song invitation provided today, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, and if you, by way of the internet system, find yourself convicted by the things that have been said over the last few weeks of time, about how God would have us to live, behave, and do, and how the Lord in His church wants us to be people who follow His will and under His will in our lives, would you let us know so we can be of help to you? As those who would believe would confess their faith in Christ, repent of their sins, and be baptized into Him, and rise to walk a newness of life. Wonderful, wonderful blessing could be yours. Let us know. Thank you for being with us today. Let's stand together as we sing this good song.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee, even Thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Knowing that so many have been at home and a part of the studies by way of the Facebook and YouTube and so forth, so on, in congregations that are meeting and held back from having big groups of people there, I wrote a report regarding this year's 50th year of the training school program. And we'll be mailing out, Lord willing, tomorrow to various supporters and helpers that have been there along the way. Along the way of this particular thing, I mentioned the following that we hope will be the case. It's a joy to once again host a personal workers seminar on techniques at the Cecil May Jr. Academic Building on the campus of the now Magnolia Bible Institute in Kosciusko, Mississippi, which is doing so well by offering courses for credit several nights a week to students throughout Mississippi. We don't maybe realize, but they have people that drive all the way from the coast Kosciusko to be a part of those classes or study with them during the week now. Training School for Better Service will host the use of this building on Friday, October 16th from 10 a.m. till noon and offer a free lunch at Wendy's beside Highway 12 and the bypass for anyone attending with us. I hope this pandemic will be under control by October, allowing my renting of this building and hosting the personal work seminar this year of 2020. I know you pray with me the same thing. I hope that we can get it done. And that sort of thing is a part of my life. God bless you all. Be careful as you go through the week. God bless you.
Let's turn to number 596.
Story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His glory, how His precious blood atoned me, and I repented of my sin. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, once again to come before You to thank You for this day, for being able to be here to worship You, we pray in spirit and in truth. Thanking You, Father, for the blessings that we enjoy this day, and for the blessings that we enjoy in our lifetime. Pray that those that are not able to attend Your services this day will be uplifted, and Father, may they be blessed. And we ask, Father, that the pandemic can be over with soon, and that everyone can be joined back together to worship You on Your day, the Lord's day. Thank you for the lesson we've heard. Father, may we say the things to our brethren and to those that are outside the church in such a way that it'll be uplifting to them and to help them. And Father, help us always to guard our tongue and that we will not say the things that would be harmful. Help us through this week, Father. We know that things are so bad, so crazy outside. Help us to do the right things in our lives, that we can be examples to others, that we want the pandemic to be over with, and Father, that we will not impose ourselves upon others. Bless this nation. Bless the rulers of our country, the leaders, and Father, bless the military that takes care of us. And we thank you so much for Jesus Christ who looks after us every day through your word. We're thankful for that. Forgive us of our sins. Go with us to our home. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.